God bless you this morning. I hit the button, right? I'm on? Am I on? I'm on, right? Thank you. So would you answer me? You're just looking at me. I'm not. Thank you, Rocky. For those of you who are just tuning in right now, you're looking going, that doesn't look like Pastor Dave Wilson. Well, it's not. My name is Tom Moore, and Pastor Dave Wilson's actually a lot taller than me, so that's for you at home. You'll be able to tell the difference. I was doing this huge sign, this painting, for a ministry, and it's massive. I mean, probably from one side of the stage to the other. And when I got done with it, big ministry, huge worldwide ministry. When I got done with it, nobody said thank you. Nobody shook my hand. Nobody dropped me a little Pentecostal handshake. Nothing. I didn't get nothing. I went home and said, can you believe this ministry? Jesus loved it. Didn't even say thank you to me. And I walked around with this thing for like 2 weeks. They had a huge reopening of the ministry, which is why I did the sign. And they invited me and my family to come. About 500-600 people showed up. And we're sitting in the back row, and I'm sitting there going, that's my sign right there. Nobody said thank you. Nobody greased my palm. Nothing. Nobody. And just as the event started, the minister who was in charge said, we are so blessed to have this ministry. And look at our new sign. And the place erupted. And then we want to thank Brother Tom Morin with all our hearts. I shrunk. I just kept getting smaller, smaller. And I was getting crushed as the moment. And I mean, he went on and on about me. This is in front of 500-600 people. And I'm just, and my wife gave me the wife look. If you don't know what the wife look is, she just looked over and went, like, you better take care of your junk with God right now, buddy, because your heart's filthier than when I met you. And then, as though it couldn't get any worse, as a matter of fact, as we thank Brother Tom, is he here today? Would you please stand up so everybody could acknowledge it? And I'm like, she looked at me and went, you better stand up. I stood up. I was like, God bless you. And the sweat is just dripping off my head. And people are going nuts. And I'm like, man, God, you know how to humble your people in the shadow of an instant of a millisecond moment. Jesus humbled himself on this glorious day. He humbled himself when he was in the garden. He humbled himself when he decided to take the cup that he asked for three times. Any way we could do this? Is there any other way we could do this? Because I just don't want to be away from you. And the Father said, no, they need you. Can't happen without you. Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is that's about as heavy a statement as you can possibly imagine when you call yourself and myself, when we call ourselves Christians or Christ followers. If any man, let him deny, follow me. I don't know about you, but I know about me. I don't like denying myself anything. My wife makes, I'm not, no joke, the greatest, most amazing chocolate chip cookies you ever had in your life. If anybody has had those chocolate chip cookies in this room, clap a little bit. Severe. Those are, yeah, now she's going to be bombarded, and now I get to deal with that. But I'm just saying, I'm going to be her manager. We're charging for the next batch, so if you hit her up, the next ones are not free. They are amazing chocolate chip cookies. I cannot deny myself when she makes those cookies. So when I'm on like number three, she's like, Tom, number three? I'm like, there's going to be a four if you just could step aside. I'll get to it. Deny himself. Why the cross? Of all ways to die, why the cross? Plenty of other Roman wonderful ways of killing people. Why the cross? Could have chopped his head off. Could have stick him in boiling oil. Could have done so many vicious, vile ways to die. Why the cross? The cross was the worst punishment for the lowest criminal. I'm talking like scum, low criminal. Slaves, political rebels, thieves. It was the most shameful punishment the Romans had to offer. Anyone hung on a tree was believed to be cursed by God. Whoa. Not only were you the lowest of the low, you were the lowest of humanity. You were the lowest of just existence for the crime you did. On top of that, God hated you. Yet Jesus says, take up your cross. Oh, wait. Time. What are you saying? Your utter, complete surrender out of obedience, like the one you and I say we follow. You were the lowest criminal before you met Jesus. So was I. I mean, I got friends that have like criminal backgrounds. They're like friends. They're not criminals no more. I'm just saying, I got friends that have those backgrounds. Some of you may not. Some of you grew up in the church and you're just like, I've seen it on television. But you know, but I'm not saying that's how you talk. That's how I hear you. That's not how you talk. That's how this translation, that's how I, just because you're so perfect, this. The Bible says, yet when we were his enemy, he went to the cross. When you were an enemy, what enemy does anything for his enemy besides hurt him? We have been cursed, and a price for our judgment must be paid. That's it. The price must be paid. You know, so many people have so many stories, and they're amazing when you hear people's conversion, even in the church. I mean, even when people grow up in the church, that just blows my mind. That is the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people like have these incredible, I never did this and I never did that, and I grew up in a church and I went to Sunday night, I went to Wednesday, and I just love Jesus. And you're looking at this life that's got 20, 25, 30 years behind it, you're just like, how is that even possible? How is that possible? I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like outside in the parking lot. I'm like, man, March 15th, 1992. I just celebrated my born-again birthday. March 15th, 1992. Let me tell you something. That was the day the Romans considered a day of atonement. This is before Christ. Listen to this. This is so... The day of atonement... This is considered now traditionally as what is called the Ides of March. Have you ever heard of that? Some Irish people in here. You know what that is. The Ides of March. The Romans had 2 days a month where they would actually cancel debt. On March 15, 1992, I did not know what the Ides of March were. As a matter of fact, I just found that out about 2 months ago. I just one day went, I wonder what March 15th is, if it's anything. The recognized Day of Atonement was the day I gave my life to the Lord. My sins were atoned for on the day considered the Day of Atonement. I know some of you don't have that, but that's just how much God loves me. I mean, he loves you just as much, but I'm just saying that's how he wanted it. Because you're not as slow as me. I get things slow. God had to come into my life, take me by my ankles with big sunglasses, a pinstripe suit, and shake the change out of my pocket like a runner. Because I wouldn't have listened any other way. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So this horrific, agonizing, painful, utterly grotesque way of dying was to heal us. That doesn't make any sense at all. That doesn't make it. That's like, I might as well say 2 + 2 = 9. The tomb is empty, but it's actually filled with hope. The tomb is empty, but it's filled with hope. That would look really sharp on a magnet on a refrigerator. Wouldn't that look good? I didn't get that off a magnet. You can make one and then I'll just take 10%. So. Inside the tomb were folded clothes. Inside the tomb were angels. Inside the tomb was the promise of his word. Listen, I see it like this. His folded clothes were the completed work. The angel speaking was the assurance to all. And his missing body was confirmation of the promise. Why the cross? Isaiah 52, verse 14. Because that's where your heart is mended. Because that's where your mind is made whole. Because that's where your dreams made new and your life restored. It says in Isaiah 52, verse 14, his visage, or what he appeared to, what he looked like, was marred more than any man. The beating that he endured was unlike anything any other person was going to endure. Why the cross? It fulfilled the prophecy. But on top of that, It was the absolute, utter place of humility. The absolute, utter place of humility. Now watch this. When he says, let's go back, deny yourself, that's what he did. He could have called down legions of angels and obliterated everyone, but he chose not to. He made a way so you and I would know the glorious Father as personal relationship. I want to ask you this morning, what do you see as the most important thing in your life? If you can't answer my relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to submit to you. I want you to hear me now. There is something off with your following him. If you cannot say that the most incredible, the most miraculous, the most wonderful, the most important thing on the planet Earth right now for me is my relationship with Jesus Christ, if you cannot say that, I will submit to you, you are not following Jesus Christ. They didn't care what happened to them. They were running scared when they crucified our Savior. They were behind locked doors. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. Because at that moment, when he was laid in that tomb after his crucifixion, there was a full onslaught looking for everyone and everyone who considered themselves a follower of Christ. They were being ripped out of homes. They were being families ripped apart. Men and women and children were being mauled, slaughtered because they professed Jesus Christ as their master. Behind locked doors. You remember? They had to knock on the door. Open up, open up. He's alive. You're lying. What do you mean I'm lying? Open up, I just went to the tomb. We don't believe it, there's no way. He said he would, open the door. And then they found out for themselves. See, when the helium is taken or the air is taken out of the room, you're walking around like this. What do I do? When it's put back in, there's this understanding, oh man, it's all going to be good. When they found out he was alive, when the fulfillment of every promise, when the fulfillment of every prophecy, they were like, okay, all right, sign me up. If that's what it takes, sign me up. If they're going to boil me, sign me up. If they're going to cut my head off, sign me up. If they're going to flip me upside down because of the cross, sign me up. I want to do this now because he did it for me. I'm doing it for him. I'm denying myself. Are you ready to deny yourself like never before? Like never, ever before. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not know him as your Lord, now is your time. Now is your time. This is your day. You need to come before him with humility. But, sir, you didn't tell me why. Oh, let me tell you why. Because you will have everlasting life. Because you will have everlasting peace. And the torment that you feel as a human being from day to day whether you're here in this room or whether you're at home watching or wherever you are watching the live stream, the torment in your heart, in your mind, whether you're on a roller coaster, some days you're up, some days you're down. I know what that's all about. But in the end, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright morning star. He is the rose of Sharon. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He is the great I Am. He's everything you need. He is everything that you want him to be. He will be for you because you never will ever walk alone again. He has promised it in his word. You will never be alone. Don't be afraid. You will not be alone. I will not leave you. This is the promise. This is the promise. Why the cross? There was no other way. That answer doesn't work for me. You need to take that up with God. Well, I don't believe in God. He believes in you. Well, I don't know if all your God stuff works for me. You don't know. You haven't asked, and you haven't tried. I got this big word that everybody makes fun of because of the way I say it, especially my men's group on Tuesday night. I never plug the men's group on Tuesday night. You should come. If you want to know what it is to be surrounded by men who pray and men who are committed, you should come. Tuesday night, 7:30. Marshfield. That was my PSA for my men's group. You don't want to feel a certain way. You have all the reasons why you can't follow. You haven't even looked into his face yet. But you keep moving out of his view. You haven't even deeply considered, but you keep saying no. Why would you do that? I have to live my life the way you do. It hasn't worked for you yet. I'm going to ask you tonight. Please consider Jesus Christ. If you want to know what it is to have hope, if you want to know what it is to have life, if you want to know what it is to have something when you have nothing, if you want to know what it is to absolutely be walking in a way that changes your perspective, that changes your viewpoint, that changes your heart, that changes your relationship, that changes everything about you, then Jesus Christ is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. No one. There's no other way to get to God. There's no other religion to get to God. It is just Jesus Christ alone. Receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, to wash your sin by his precious blood. You will be made born again. It is only in the born again. Jesus said, if you are born again, then you will enter the kingdom of heaven. These are undeniable truths. But what about society? What about culture? What about it? Nothing has surprised him. It has not changed since the beginning of time. Remember Babylon. God is waiting for you. He's waiting for you today. If you're at home and you're watching, I'm looking right into that camera. I want you to know something. God loves you so much that he clothed himself in flesh to come to this earth, to die on this cross, so you would have everlasting life. And you would have hope eternal. If you're in this room, and after what I just said, what I just preached, you can say, I'm not 100% following, and I want to be. I'm going to ask you to put on your big pants and stand up right now. I want to pray for you. You want to follow him like nothing else. You want him to be the most important. I want you to stand up right now. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to know. You stand right up. You stand right up and ask him right now. You know your relationship can be more. Stand right up right now. You know your relationship more. All over the room right now. Stand right up right now. You want a relationship with Jesus Christ like never before in your life, then you need to stand up. That's it right there. Thank you, sir. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to come right down here. Those of you that stood up, come right down here right now. Come right here. I want to pray for you collectively. Come right now. There is nothing to be ashamed of. You are receiving the Savior of your life, the Savior of your soul right now. Come right now. Come on, sir. Come right here with me. Why don't you go help him, brother? Go ahead. Can you help this gentleman right here for me?
Absolutely.
All right. God wants to bless you and keep you. God wants to comfort you. God will do what only God can do. And he will do it right now. God loves you. God died for you. God loves you. God died for you. God bless you, sir. So we're going to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, extend your hands to these lovely people, these beautiful people who have made the decision right now. I want you all to repeat after me. It's simple. And it's a blessing. And God will bless you and move in your hearts like never before because of what you decided to do this morning. You say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit right now. Ask him to do that. Fill me with your spirit right now. Forgive me of my sin. Make me whole. And allow me to know you like never before. You say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to deny myself and follow you. And I will give you the glory. And I will give you the honor as you change my life. Because your stripes, those wounds, that beating you took, made me whole. Cleanse me with your precious blood. And allow my life to look like a mirror of yours. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Would you, God bless them right now? God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you so much, man. God bless you. God bless you.
I've been born again since 92 as well.
Amen, brother. We should start brand new. We'll start brand new today. We'll start brand new today. We're just continuing, right? Every day. God bless you.
It's just funny you said that too.
Amen.